from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster who just pulled up his socks. At first, I was going to say I pulled up my ankle socks, but they're actually, here's the thing, are all socks angle socks, like A-N-G-L-E? Because, you know, or maybe not, are all socks angled? Or no, I guess not, because a tube sock is not an, like you angle, those are self-angled socks, tube socks, right? But an ankle sock normally does have an angle. And what am I talking, you see, you might say, what in the name of S-O-C-K-S are you talking about, Scoots? I'd say, well, if you're new, welcome. I'm going to go off topic. I already have, and I'm so glad you're here because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast to put you to sleep. And if you're new, don't even pay attention to this part. This is just for regular listeners. So if you're a regular listener, when your hand hits the fridge tomorrow, remember this part of the show. Hey, everybody, this is Drew. This episode was recorded a little while ago, so I just wanted to let you know this podcast is here so you can feel less alone day or night. We're going to keep coming out Sunday and Wednesday nights as usual. But if you need more help, you know, reach out for help. I have a list of resources in the show notes if you're looking for more help in this current time, because I'm here to try to support you with that. Thanks. All right, but this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, with just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead and start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answer to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show if it was missing from my life. I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, like I do need, like we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now. If the answer is yes to those questions. So we don't have to go through, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. Sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. All right, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone. It's a part of the show where we celebrate the people who supported the sponsors, supported the podcast, so I can bring it to you for free. And tonight we're celebrating Charlotte, who signed up with Grove, got all those cool extras that come free when you sign up with Grove through our link over at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. And Charlotte shared with Grove and me on Twitter. So thank you, Charlotte, for being a Sleepy Supporter. If you want to mention in Sleepy Supporter Zone, supporter sponsor, tag them, tag me, let me know about it. And I'll try to thank you on the Sleepy Supporter Zone. The second part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is new, and that's something I support because I believe that's just as important. You know, one podcast and person I support on Patreon is Girl in Space. It's made by my friend Sarah, but I want you to check the podcast out. It's called Girl in Space. It's about a young scientist out there in space. It's audio fiction. It's beautiful. She loves cheese, and you're going to love the show. So check it out in your podcast app of choice. That's Girl in Space. And then there's one more kind of support out there right now. Check our show notes if you're really in need of some extra support that the podcast can't provide. You know, I'm here to keep you company and put you to sleep. But if you're in need of some other resources, I have those right at the beginning of the show notes. And that is the end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone. But before we slow it down, Mr. Bard, a lot of other people help out on this show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Poster Song. Sounds like a near fall. Wrote the theme song. Added episodes to Carl W. support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud that we could dance to be part of Night Vale Presents. So now on with the show.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. I'm at Dearest Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. That's where you'll find me. And if you want, sign up for our newsletter. One day, I'll be putting out a newsletter. You don't want to miss it when it starts. It'll come out infrequently, but it probably will be interesting or big news. SleepWithMePodcast.com/newsletter. And that's it. Let's slow it down and get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it as a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed and turn out the lights and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's the thoughts, feelings, physical sensations. So is anything you're thinking about, anything physically coming up for you that you're experiencing or emotionally coming up for you. It could be changes in time or temperature or routine, whatever it is, you know, indoors, outdoors, inside, outside, whatever it is. I'm here to take your mind off that. What I'm going to do is create a safe place or deliver a safe place. Though I know I have socks on the brain, I feel like I just did it. I've done multiple episodes about socks before, but I got a safe place. It could have, you know, this could, we could have those, any of those socks you might need. You'd say, well, we got extra socks here at our safe place. Which would you choose? Also, maybe there's going to be the sock and human reunion at the, I don't know, was that the, that wasn't the Everly Brothers. Was that Simon and Garfunkel or just Simon that sang that? The old sock and human reunion. I don't know, will that be what tonight's episode's about? I thought, no, tonight's episode's about the good place. But so I'm going to send this, to deliver the safe place. One way I'm going to do it is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use a lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents. I'm going to go off topic for sure. So get distracted, filler words, nonsense, inconceivable and incomprehensible, flawed logic. Even my illogical parts are, they say, I'm illogical and flawed. I have both those things going for me. Those don't go well, they don't go well in profiles. I think I talked about other stuff on there. Don't put flawed, even though everyone is. I don't know. I never tried that. Illogical, though, I haven't tried that one either. Maybe I should test that out. So those are a couple things. Those are techniques. So here's the thing. If you're new, hi, how you doing? I'm glad you're here, and I wanted to talk to you, particularly if you're new, because this podcast is very different than most every other podcast in existence and most other things in general. So I wanted to get you familiar. If you're feeling that way, you say, what is this thing? Or I'm not sure if I like this thing. That is a perfectly normal thing. Or I don't want to try to put your fears at ease or your agitation, because that's just a common thing that most people feel when they first start listening to the show. And I'm not trying to talk you out of those feelings because they're normal. Skeptical? Of course you'd be skeptical. This is a podcast to put you to sleep. Why wouldn't you be skeptical? And then you say, and you're kind of just talking about nonsense. So if you're having any of those feelings, even strongly, I'll give you some information to go on, but I just want to let you know that's cool. You're having a totally normal reaction, and just see how it goes. And the best way to do it is to try not to pay too much attention. That's one thing that could throw people off, is to try to wait for this podcast to get to a point or make sense. That's one thing. So see how it goes. That's one part of it. Structurally is another thing that can, so almost like watching in an out of focus way, or just barely listen to me. Or eventually you'll do that. Like if you become a regular listener, if you say, oh, wait, this podcast started working for me. Once I stopped listening, the podcast started working. I really started enjoying listening to Sleep With Me once I was barely listening to it. That's a pretty common, because most people that are regular listeners to the show, which is like hundreds of thousands of people, said like it took two or three tries before I got used to the show, and then I became a regular listener. Because at first I was like, what is this? Or I'm not sure I like it. So if you're feeling that way, that's normal. Another thing to tell you about is the structure. And this really throws people off. It seems like it throws people, two or three people off every week in a very intense way that I hear from them. So I always try to talk about this. So show starts off with a little teaser, you know, how you do, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, friends beyond the binary. Then there's business, which if you're new, not super important. Usually it's like, whatever, 4 or 6 minutes of business. I don't know. Then there's an intro. The business keeps the podcast free for everybody. Just a reality that I want the show free, but it's not important for new people. Then there's an intro. Now, the intro is like from about 6 or 7, you know, somewhere between 4 and 8 minutes into the show till 20 minutes in the show. So about 12 to 15 minutes of me just rambling. Now, sometimes like the strong reaction can feel like that this is, I don't know. The intro is just me trying to explain what the podcast is and not succeeding. But when people dislike it, they describe it as an infomercial or self-congratulate, you know, those kind of things. It's really just some friendly banter that that's light on the banter. So that's the intro. You say, well, why is the intro 12 to 18 to 20 minutes? They say, well, because that's how long it takes for me to get to the point. That's one. But two, for regular listeners, what they find, like 2 or 3% or 2 or 4% of regular listeners, they skip to 20 minutes and they go straight to the Good Place content. And then another 2% are patrons. They get story only versions of the show. But for most people, they like listening to the intro because it gives them time to get ready for bed and to wind down. So the whole idea of this long, pointless intro is just to give you a chance to unwind. And you could start listening before you get into bed or once you're in bed or as you're getting ready for bed. You know, kind of see what works for you as part of your bedtime routine. So then I'll finish the intro. Then there'll be some business. And then there'll be The Good Place. We'll be talking about the last episode of The Good Place. Holy moly. And then there's some thank yous at the end of the show. So it's a structure show. Kind of, as I said, it's a podcast you don't really need to listen to. And if you barely listen or kind of listen, you might have initially more success. But it is a podcast you could listen to, because if you can't sleep, there's a percentage of people that listen to the show that can't sleep. I'm going to be here to the very end for you, too. I'm here to keep you company in the deep, dark night, whether you're awake or asleep. I guess it's that simple, to take your mind off stuff, whether you're listening or not. Like a tree in the woods, not when the tree falls, but like, let's see, when the wind's blowing in a tree in the woods, no one uses that as a metaphor because it's not so flashy. But I say, if wind's blowing in a tree in the woods and no one's there to hear it, does it make a noise, right? And I'd say, I don't know, because that's a deep question. But I say, that's my job, is not to worry about it. I'm just a tree. I don't know if I'm the tree or the breeze. I mean, I know I got the hot air going, so, but you know what I'm saying? I'm there, whether you're there at a campsite listening to me and relaxing, or you're asleep. I guess that's the kind of, like I said, mishandled metaphors. That's another technique I use. So I don't know what my point was, because I forgot what I was talking about. Oh, you don't need to listen to me. Like, I just demonstrated that one. But there's also no pressure to fall asleep. I guess that's the flip side of what I was saying. I'm here to keep you company to the very end. And the reason the episodes are about an hour is so you have plenty of time to drift off. Like, I want to take that worry away from you. So when you see the show, you say, oh, I have plenty of time to go to sleep. Scoots is going to talk about the podcast for 20 minutes. And maybe I'll fall asleep then, but then I know he's going to talk. I don't know, like, if who will start talking. You know, he'll talk probably about bow ties and buckets and Chidi and Eleanor and Tahani and Jason. Janet, Michael, the whole Soul Squad. Probably, I would assume, but maybe I won't hear that. But if I do, if I'm still awake, I could listen to that. That'll be entertaining, trying to hear Scoots recap that episode. Or you might say, well, I don't listen. I don't watch The Good Place. I see you're in for an even bigger treat, is what most people say. Like they, when I do a TV recap of shows that people don't watch, those work really well. Because you say, well, I get to be introduced to some friends I don't really know anything about or have to pay too much attention to, but that Scoots likes. Like, could you imagine being at a party where people are introducing you to people, but then you don't have, and they're describing the people to you, but you don't have to interact with them, but you get all the benefits of that? Like, that's what the episode, oh, let me tell you about my friend Eleanor. Oh, boy, is she wearing, well, I don't know if it's a long sleeve shirt or a sweater, but she's sitting there. And it's not quite a rainbow, like a Roy G. Biv rainbow. Oh, and then there's Chidi. Like, he does have a sweater vest on. I'm not sure, he's sitting there thinking. And he knows more about philosophy than the philosophers, because he's a fan. You know, of course he would know more. The philosophers, they might only know about their own philosophies. So, and then I get to my, you know, so that would be like, you say, oh, like, I don't know, that'd be pretty nice. You say, would I be floating through this party? And I say, sure, if you want to. So that's that. So I'll be talking about The Good Place. That's the other thing. But you don't need to watch the show. It'll be tiny bit spoiled, but ideally you're asleep. Or, you know, you kind of forget what I was talking about. Because that happens to me, too, where I try to avoid spoilers for, like, movies and stuff like that or theme park rides. And then inadvertently I hear something, but then I forget it. And I say, I don't even know who that, BB-88, never heard of them. BB-8, I've heard of them. I've heard of BB-8, but that cone droid, I don't even know its name. Maybe I heard about that droid at some point. So here's a question, way off base. Was that droid in WALL-E? It's been a while since I watched WALL-E, but I wonder if there was any shout outs from the latest Star Wars movie in WALL-E. I don't know why, that just popped in my head. Because it was from somewhere, like that cone droid, the droid, I don't know if you saw that movie. And I've talked about it way too many times about, I don't know what R2 did. They said, you know what, we're going to cut. Maybe they had like a script supervisor that they brought in from corporate. And they said, yeah, we got to slash 20% of the budget off this movie. And they said, well, we don't know how we're going to do this in a way that works for. And the script supervisor said, give me all the characters whose names start with R. And they said, okay, Rose, R2. Then the scripts are, that's good. Okay. Let's cut their most of their, what parts of the movie are they in? And they said, okay, now they'll be at the base, just being at the base. What will they do? Cause they were big parts of, you know, they're both big parts of the lore of the films. And they said, yeah, well, they'll be at the base. That's an important place for both of them to be. And then they would say, Scoots, weren't you talking about the cone, the droid with the cone? I'd say, I'm not sure it was a cone because it wasn't, but yeah, that droid, I've seen it. I've seen that droid somewhere before. And I don't know if it was in a trailer or a dream or WALL-E or another film. But when I saw that, I said, I've seen you somewhere before. And the droid said, you know, made a droid noise that I can't make on a sleep podcast. Like, what about, this wasn't any droid in it, but the droids that go, Hanawana-pana-wana-pee-pee. Like, that's one of the noises, like, that little droid makes on the ground. Probably was in one of these movies, too. But, you know, that's the sound it makes. It's a hana-wana-wana-wana-pee-pee. Just feel good. Maybe this episode will come out around May the 5th. I doubt it. But I already talked about R2 for, like, 20 minutes. But I didn't think of that thing. I said, wait a second. R2 and Rose both start with R. Kylo Ren, but that's what you say. Well, no, we're just going by first names. Who are some of the other characters? How can I not think? Ray, but they say, well, okay. I don't know any of the, all their other names escape me right this second. Poe, well, okay, Poe. Poe, Finn, Chewie, C-3PO, like I said. Okay, so anyway, back to the sleep podcast that I make. But I think I figured that out. I mean, I don't want to do, I mean, I like, there's a lot of, like, consternation about what happened to Rose in R2. And I think I just got to the bottom of it. And you won't hear that in any Star Wars. I mean, you'll hear the stuff of, like, what, you know, other theories. But that's probably the most likely theory. They said, huh. They said, give me a script. Okay, well, what changes did you make? Don't worry about it. Well, I just picked, you know, a name, a letter of the alphabet, happened to be R. So, okay, so where was I? I was off topic. Oh, it's a podcast you don't need to listen to. How the heck did I get, like, I started talking about that droid. Where did that come out of? I mean, but, oh, I did forget to say, I know you from somewhere. If I met that droid, then the droid would say, of course you do. I mean, whatever language it speaks, when we interpret it, it would say, of course you do. I was in one of the, you know, big Star Wars movies. And I'd say, no, no, it was before that. Say, huh, like magic, in your imagination? I don't think I'm that creative. Well, really, I'm just a cone with a wheel. Yeah, I'm not big on making droids. Are you sure were you in WALL-E or someone like you? Shouldn't you know the answer to that question? I mean, I should, but that's what I'm asking. I said, I know you from somewhere. Do you think it was a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away or someplace more recent? I don't know, but I get to get back to these regular listeners and the new listeners. So here's the thing. I think I made it clear. This is a podcast you don't need to listen to. No pressure to fall asleep. I make the podcast because I've been there, tossing and turning. Like, I know how it feels, and I really do believe you deserve a good night's sleep. And I'm hoping to provide that in any way I can. Because I think it'd just be nice, right, for you to get a good night's sleep. I work very hard on the show. I greatly appreciate you coming by and checking it out. And, you know, I yearn and strive to help you fall asleep. So thanks again for coming by. And if you're a regular listener, these are the ways we're able to keep this podcast free for you. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. All right, everybody. I want to thank Claire and tonight's sponsor for supporting this episode and provide me with some samples. You know, I suffer from seasonal allergies. Not only do they get in the way of me living my life, they get in the way of me making this podcast to put you to sleep. Because when those allergies are really kicking in, I sound weird and I do not feel good at all. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. The double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. And that's what I like about Claritin D. It covers all those bases. For me, I love the relief from the runny nose and the sinus pressure. Holy cow. Those two things combined, I'm like the worst two symptoms I have at the exact same time. So I love the relief Claritin brings. And I've been taking Claritin D this spring for this allergy season. And it's been a game changer because I can go out on my runs and on my trail runs and not have to worry about, am I going to be able to record the podcast tomorrow because my nose is running and my sinuses are clogged? Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Thanks, everybody. Everybody, Scoots here, and this is it, the final. It's not our final episode of The Good Place, because we still have to do season two, but it is the series. This is our coverage of the series and season four finale of The Good Place. Good Place, season four, episode 13, Whenever You're Ready. And I got all my coverage here. We'll see if I can do this in one episode. I don't know. It opens with Michael with a reel-to-reel recorder, attempt 803 of the new project, and he's recording some music, riding on a groovy wave of love. I'm going for a cosmic ride, surf the freaky purple vibes of love. The marshmallow cat is inside. So definitely 60s, 70s folk storytelling, purple dragon groove. But then Michael says, what am I even talking about? And he's kind of not happy with how the songwriting's going. Also, he has we see pictures on the wall. Jason and the rest of the Soul Squad are on the wall where originally it was just Doug Forsett. He has no tie on. Probably other things. Oh, I supposed to pause it there to see what else is on. Well, it's just a Soul Squad and a couple books. No tie, pocket square, spiral notebook and pen. He's trying to figure out the E chord. Let's see. Trying to figure out the E chord. Cool. Let's see. Janet shows up. She says, I could make it, self-playing guitar. That's what some people want. And he's like, I want to do stuff without afterlife magic, but you never know. Then she says, we got to go. And he says, cool. Or I think he says, okay. And there's a Jeremy Baramy clock. It kind of has, it's like a little bit like a Small World After All. It's a funky mechanical clock. It looks like it has some buildings and some, what are those things called? Ferris wheels. Michael says, where does the time go? And then they go, him and Janet go through the green door. Let's see. And I think Michael was even singing a little bit. Then they go, Chidi's teaching, what does it say? Oh, wait, let's wait. Well, the problem is this episode was not available. So my pausing is going to be a little bit different this time. But Chidi's teaching afterlife ethics, Professor May. I think that's Todd May. Todd May, who's his book probably came up in another thing. Let's see. Let me pause it. There's so many things going on here. Jeremy Baramy, like, where's the time go? Green door to class. Chidi. Oh, I was trying to map out how many people are in Chidi's class. Jason's there. Then there's three people kind of behind Jason to one side. Then there's a couch with Eleanor, Tahani, and another teacher. Then there's a chair with someone in it. Then there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, or 9 or so people in the background taking this class. Oh, and Chidi's teaching Afterlife Ethics 101. Todd May's book, Big Farm, is on the big board. And it's definitely worth pausing. Let me see. I can't pause because usually I use this NBC, just didn't make this episode available. And they have a really good app for pausing and stuff. But I'm watching this just on my regular DVR thingamajig. But yeah, there's other things on there about Big Farm and Thomas Nagel and other on the chalkboard. And they're debating stuff. I think Eleanor tells Todd May to check himself. 141 chalkboard. Then they talk about the trolley professor. Yeah, she says, check yourself, rando. He says, oh, it's my book. Chidi does tell him to check himself anyway, kind of. Professor Hironomi will be teaching the trolley problem. There's some jokes about that. Michael says, Chidi, ready to roll, buddy? I don't think he says buddy, but then they go, they're in the Dorman Hub. There's a sign that I think that says Dorman Hub. They go through the green door. So Bernard Williams is also on the chalkboard. Borges and Chang Su, it looks like. I don't know. I can't, because I can't pause it. But yeah, they go through, they're in the Bridge World, Dorman Hub. Busy, it's busy there. It's a cool sign over the door hub. At first, there was an overhead shot. This is Jeff. I thought there was 35 frogs. But ends up he has 322 and then 323 because there's lots of frog stuff. But then there's also a sign for frog parking only. There's also a built-in sign for an IHOP. 25 at least on the left. Oh, 25 frogs at least on the left side of his desk that I could count. Then there's a joint council meeting. Let's see what happens there. Talking about the leftovers, update, new humans coming in, Zora Neale Hurston, Roberto Clemente, Thomas Aquinas, where's the beef lady? Let's see, joint council meeting, good place. The guy that compliments Michael on the robes in the previous episode was there. Lots of pens and pads on the table. They have kind of blue reports or folders they're working out of. And then Sean, well, I don't know if I'm correct. Sean says ever. I counted 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 26 times. Let's see, like these transcripts I have. If you count never, let's just count the evers. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. They have, okay, let me see the, close caption. Come on, admit it, Sean. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. But that might have been, like, I don't know, that might have been off. Then the episode opens, the final chapter, it's called. Then 2,242 Jeremy Baramies later, we catch up with Jason and Janet in bed. Jason, the striped duvet and pillowcases, Janet's in purple PJs. Jason's got a tank top on. It looks like they had a glass terrarium on their nightstand, wing buckets on the headboard. Jason says, I got to go. He's trying to break, outscore his dad. At first, that's what I thought. He said, I got to go beat my dad in football. But I think it was meet my dad because he's trying to play the perfect game of Madden, which he does successfully. His dad cheers him on in a really loving way. After 433,000 tries, he did it, a perfect game of Madden. And he says, oh, that's my boy. Holy cow, that's my boy. And Jason's happy. He says, I did it. I can't believe I did it. They were at the Jaguar Stadium, it looked like. There was like stats and everything. Stadium goes wild. Then zoom on Jason. He's setting up dinner for him and Janet. He's got acid washed jean shorts on and kind of like a camo sweatshirt tee. Candles, two kinds of glasses, Janet's face during the scene. Again, this is like, like the acting is just so high level. So if you watch Janet's face, as things sink in, and she says, oh, dip. And he says, yeah, time to go. They go to the Old Town Big Square, and Jason says, big news, everybody. And Jason's so chill. Michael's sad. Everybody's a little stunned. And Janice says, we're going to have a party, eat, drink, and dancing. And you know, Jason says, it's okay to be sad. He goes, this is the same look my teachers had on their faces. And he goes, let's be happy. Well, I'm going to play DJ, EDM music. It's going to be great. And then they go to the party, and DDR is playing, which is Dance Dance Resolution, right? Or Revolution. I think Dance Dance Resolution. I tried to look it up last week, and I forgot. Doug Forsett is there as his picture version from the 70s or whatever, not the Doug Forsett we had met. And he loves chicken wings, Doug Forsett does. There's also, there's a lot of onion rings, Solo cups. So he's in his original young body. Let's see, Michael and Janet kind of talk about their feelings and making sure to see how Janet feels. But Janet says, geez, I know this is the right time, right? It's the right time for him to go. PB&J, and that's it. Oh, that's like one of the restaurants we see. Oh, DJ music, dance crew. There's like, it looks like Jason's dance crew is like about 16 people. And Jason, Doug's very happy. The Soul Squad's minds are blown watching Jason dance and his crew. And they do have great moves. So their minds should have been blown. They put Jason up on his shoulders. He says, geez, that was special. I'll never forget tonight until I dissolve into the universe. And she says, geez, how did you know? How do you know it's the right time? I don't know if Eleanor was there, too. Eleanor has, like, oh, Cheney and Eleanor are snuggled on the couch, yeah. And they have, Eleanor does have kind of a semi-rainbow coat on, or rainbow sweater, long sleeve tee. And what else? I don't think it's a full Roy G. Biv rainbow, but he says, she said, I don't know, it's not like I heard a bell. I just had this calm feeling in me. Like the air inside my lungs was the same as the air outside my body. Peaceful, like when you have a perfect jalapeno popper. Then he says, what about Janet forgetting me? He goes, I don't mind if she falls in love, particularly if it's Jason Momoa or Laura Croft Tomb Raider. They say, he makes her necklace. They say, don't worry, she's not going to forget about you. Even if she could, she would never do that. Then, let's see. Yeah, so that was a great scene. Perfect games. Oh, no, that's back. Sorry, going backwards order here. Then, is this what's next? Oh, no. I'm missing some notes here, I think. I just didn't write down. Donkey Doug makes a speech about Jason saying, you know, I'm going to miss you. And he was as much a dad for me as I was a dad to him. So he says, thanks for being a great dad, son. Then Eugene Cordero from The Mandalorian is there as Pillboy. And he says, geez, Jason, he makes a bunch of good jokes. Also talks about how much he cares about Jason. Then Jason and Janet go out to the, this is the first time we see how you transfer over. It's like this peaceful forest scene with this little, archway with made of trees and branches, and they're holding each other's hands. But she says, geez, you could sit here for a minute. You could sit on the bench as long as you want. And then when you're ready to go through, he says, Janet, I love you. She goes, I love you too. He says, I had made you something, but I can't find it. I don't know if a squirrel, you know, so when you're married to Aquaman, it was a magical squirrel probably took it. And she goes, well, I'm never going to get you. And she goes, as a matter of fact, you'll never even be gone. Because she goes, I don't experience time the way you do. I love all times at once. And Jason talks about, it was like just funny Jason stuff. He goes, can you just remember the good stuff? And she goes, it was all good, man. It was all good. And then Janet walks off and Jason sits down and then there's an ad, I believe. Then the next scene is 323.6 Jeremy Baramee's Later. And Ron Swanson's teaching Tahani about furniture design. She has overalls on. He says, I have nothing left to teach you. And I'll try to pause it here or rewind it or something so I can go through her to-do list. And then so I think Janet comes. She goes, that thing happened. And then they go to Camilla. So I thought it was that Camilla arrived, but it's really her mother and father. So then her and Camilla, we'll get to that part. Because she says, geez, I never even had lunch with mom and dad. You know, I've only sat in the same room as them as eating lunch. And actually, then the parents come, and the parents are they say, geez, we love you so much. We're so sorry. We're endlessly sorry. And neither Camilla nor Tahani could believe it. But here we go. We're getting close to Tahani's to-do list here. Oh, wait, there's commercials because I'm watching it on the regular DVR here. Yeah, but we got to roll with this, right? You know, we do what we do so we can do what we do or whatever. Okay, so we have Triple Axel. That was one she did. 9,348. Land a Triple Axel. Resolve the Poincaré conjecture. That was 9,359. Perform Il Dolce Sonnino from some opera stuff. Burp the alphabet. Become a master woodworker. Pave a driveway. Break Graham Gooch's record of 456 runs in a single test. Master conducting orchestra, master conducting train, beat NBA Jam on All-Star, free solo The Colossus Arose, fix that Jesus fresco, The Lady Messed Up. And she had paved her driveway, so she had that going for her. So then that thing happened. That's what she says, Janet says. Really good hugs with Tahani and Camilla and their parents, too. And nice to see the two of them have resolved things in the big farm life, become real tight sisters. So, yeah, there the parents have appeared. They're having a smile. Everyone's arms are stiff, and now there's the big hugs. Oh, my darlings. We're please forgive us. We're not perfect. And I think they're making amends and really looking lovingly on their children. And the children are like, say what? Then there's a montage. I think that's about to start. Oh yeah. So they play croquet, family montage, walking arm in arm, talking, a movie night, watching Home Alone with popcorn in a movie theater at Brian Tahani's home. Then Camilla's doing some sort of oil painting. And Tahani's like, another set of flowers and teddy bears. This is the 1,000th time they've given, a millionth time. You know, we could get these if we wanted. Then there's a moment, where I think Camilla says, you know, I'm getting bored of mom and dad telling us how much they love us. And then they zoom on Tahani's face. It's a moment, you know, big moment for Tahani. Because she comes to a realization she's getting bored. And her mouth is just the right position in her eyes really well. Then she's splendid in yellow. And she's ready to host us a party. She says, I'm ready to go. And they're like, everything on your list? Yeah. Bathtub, a helicopter, other stuff, backhand slice. And my last goal is to spend a meaningful day with my parents, and now I've spent thousands of them. And she says, I prepared a party for all of us, cooked the food, mixed the drinks, made the furniture, repainted the walls, trained the pandas that deliver champagne. And she goes, they said goodbye to everyone else, my parents, B and J. They took it very hard. Yeah, but tonight's a party. And then you see like grapes and figs, different, oh, looks like that thing cooked in a pastry. Then Tahani and Eleanor have a moment. Let's see, J&J, where am I? Eugene, J&J heart necklace. Yeah, I got ahead of my notes here. Oh, WTF faces, croquet high fives. Camilla and Tahani seem like they're roommates. And then, yeah, the panda, the party spread. Then Eleanor and Tahani, they're talking. And let's see, they kind of say, geez, one of my things was to objectify you in a problematic way. That was Tahani to objectify Eleanor. She finished Infinite Jest. I didn't see that list. Hold on, let me back up. What else did she have on there? That's unlike everybody's to-do list, including mine. Let's see, write, something about, okay, sorry about that. It's, yeah, so how's everybody doing today? Eleanor's not in a rainbow. Well, she's in a sky blue shirt, so I don't know if that counts as, let's see, invent new musical instrument, make a vegan dessert that nobody suspects is vegan. Truly nail the Lisa Left Eye Lopez rap from Waterfalls. So that's a good one. And write Tahani Ajamil's Borges Pierre Menard's author of the Quixote. I don't know what that means. That's beyond my. So she did 11,338 things on her to do list. They really compliment one another. Then John even shows up and like says a quick goodbye really fast, really funny. They talk to each other. Then Tahani sits down with Michael and they say, and Janet, because Michael says, geez, like you did so many things, I can only do one thing, I'm the architect. And they kind of talks about learning good the guitar. Don't sell yourself short, Michael. Tahani name drops Frank Gehry. And then she says, you know what? I don't want to leave. And they go, great. And she goes, are you staying? She goes, no. I don't want to stay, but I don't want to leave. And she says, I want to be an architect and design afterlives. They go, geez, you're a person. And I guess I didn't realize this till now. It's like, this is a call forward, kind of too, in some sense, which is important. Then they go through the hub. They see Jeff. We briefly get a glimpse of, what's his name? The driver. What was that dude's name? I probably wrote his name down. Brent. He's in some interview about he's still stuck on trying to tell people they need to smile. Jeff seemed a little down. He has so many more frogs, but he just doesn't seem himself when they see him. So yeah, Brent's in a brief debriefing center, but it's not going great. We see architect design. There's a directory there. Glenn and Beatty. Meet your new intern, Tahani. Tahani's like in a suit, no bow tie. Michael, no bow tie. And everybody's excited. There's like a lot of jokes with Glenn and Goo under the bridge. She says, I'll start work my way up. Anybody want any antimatter coming right up? She says, thanks, Michael. And this is touching. He says, I got you a little first day on the job present. And it's like the peacock bow tie that started out. And he goes, geez, just, remember me or I'll brag that I used to know you when you're the most famous architect in the afterlife. Then we go back to Eleanor. Let's see, peacock bow tie. Oh, no, then there's an ad. And it's 661.7 Jeremy Baramies later. And Eleanor finishes that book, working out the terms of moral justification is an unending task. Boom, did it. 2,000 Baramies to read that book. And it's the name of it. Then she goes, gee, what are you reading? He's totally chilling out. He goes, the Da Vinci Code. And she's like, hey, he goes, yeah, read all the difficult books. Now I'm going to read, books for fun. And he goes, do you think I could be a symbologist if that was actually a thing? And I say, yeah, for sure. Then they go to dinner, and it's at Tahani's pizza place, a perfect pizza place. So she even mastered making perfect pizza. And everybody's there, Uzo, Simone, Eleanor's two friends whose names I don't know. And, yeah, they're eating pizza. It looks like they're eating like a supreme pizza, like supreme pizza, maybe one supreme vegetarian pizza. Chidi decides to order dessert for everybody for, tiramisu, which was interesting. So that's interesting too. But yeah, it looks like a couple of supreme pizzas, then after dinner, so Chidi orders tiramisu for the table. I think that's where I left off. Sorry, I got a little knock at my door. Had to make sure. But yeah, they can't believe Chidi's ordering. Then Eleanor and Chidi are at the bar together, like after this fun dinner, kind of just drinking wine. And they have kind of like a little bit, they see, oh, that was fun, huh? Fun to see our friends. Every time it's fun. They talk about something, then Eleanor just kind of says something forgetful, which there's a little bit of a beat, and then there's an awkward silence, then she just says Shakespeare left. Then they make some Shakespeare jokes, but then there's another, that's when the awkward pauses, and she goes, geez, I'm tired, I want to go home. And they say, okay, and they go, let's see, Chidi says, I'm going to get ready for bed. And then Eleanor says, geez, I'm going to go out. I got to go for a stroll. See you in a bit. And Eleanor goes, getting forgetful. Shakespeare's gone. There's no CLOWNSs in Eleanor's place anymore. Don't think there's been for a while. But she takes the green door into Michael's office. His medal's on the wall from the last episode. And Michael's kind of singing about, he's still working on a psychedelic Stardust and Moonbeam Banana. And Eleanor says, Chidi's going to go. They kind of team up. Well, what are we going to do? Is he ready? He's getting close. He's going to bring it up. So she goes, I need to, you know, start a spark here. And she calls Janet. She says, Janet, yo, what are we going to do here? Valedictorian, highlighter bed, something spiritual, I think Michael says. Eleanor says, oh boy, I'll give him spiritual. And then Janet says, well, if it's Chidi's time to go, it's his time to go. And Eleanor goes, no, she's desperate, like classic Chidi gray area. We just got to refresh things. And she goes, remember when we first, our first month here, when we were all together, she goes, set the scene. And Janet goes, like, original glory? She goes, no, like when he visited it in college, when he fell in love with it, and also the robe. So then Eleanor goes back to his place, but Chidi's ready for bed. I said, well, it's good they sleep in that world, right? Because I wouldn't want to live in it. Like I said, that's nice. They always get a good night's sleep. Then she says, come on, Chidi, we're going somewhere, special trip. He goes, I'm in my PJs. She says, Dora will, you know, take care of that. And they go into Athens. And Chidi's, you know, his breath's taken away. Beautiful. Acropolis. The Nyx has a silent P, apparently. Where the Athenians would talk. Democracy started. They talk about, you know, Socrates and Plato and the Agora, Avengers for Superthinkers. They talk about that maybe John Stamos, like with a beard, was Aristotle. Then they walk down like cobblestone streets eating kouvouri or something like it looks like some sort of Greek treat, a kouvouri. And they're just like enjoying each other's time. Chidi goes, yeah, this is a 20-year-old me. And he goes, okay, this is great. Like, why don't we go home now? And she goes, no, we got another place. And she goes, Janet, number two, remember, like hint, figure it out. Next thing you know, they're in Paris, Chidi's favorite city. At first, they're up above Paris in a great view. Oh, they also did a high five at some point. I think when they were talking about, when John Stamos with a beard. Because this is my favorite weather, too. Overcast and chilly, perfect for staying inside and reading. At some point, Janice says, Jesus, is this where you wanted to go? And she goes, well, I was thinking Six Flags, but this is better. Then they go to the cafe that Chidi used to go to, where Jean-Paul Sartre and Simone de Beauvoir, Richard Wright, James Baldwin, Brecht, all like hung out there. And she says, geez, we got all the time in the world. You could sit wherever you want. And then Chidi finally breaks. They're having, they have juice and like coffee or tea. And he says, I know what you're doing. And she goes, being the best girlfriend ever. And he goes, come on, let's take a walk. So they go out on a bridge. And he says, listen, I really love you, but it's time for me to go. And Eleanor kind of starts to really, whatever those stages are. She goes, no, I don't want you to leave. He goes, I'm not leaving you. He goes, but I have that quietude in my soul. And she goes, well, couldn't you just spend more time here? And he goes, I've had this feeling for a while, that one day when we were with our parents and my mom kissed you goodbye, kissed you, lipstick on your cheek, your mom rubbed it off. He goes, that was a moment for me. And I don't know why, and I didn't want to tell you. And she goes, but Jason's gone, Tahani's gone, and I'm not ready to go. And I don't want to, she goes, this is like kind of what happened to me on Earth. And she goes, I like having you here. And then she kind of like gets him. And he says, okay, I won't go. Then Janice shows up with cotton candy. Who's ready for Six Flags? And Eleanor says, no, he's going to stay. And they see what's left, birds or Eiffel Tower. And she kind of says, whatever. He says, why don't we go freshen up and then have dinner? I think Eleanor says that, have some wine. And she goes, fine, but I'm going to take a walk at first, look at my old neighborhood and stuff, and I'll meet you there. But you see kind of a thoughtful smile and a sad, cheaty face. Then Eleanor's kind of at dinner waiting, waiting for him. And he goes, geez, everything's on the menu. And he says, what are you thinking, to Eleanor? She says, working out the terms of moral justification is an unending task. That's what I was thinking about. He goes, that's what you want to have for dinner? And she goes, no, that's the last line of Scanlon's book. This is like one of the points where they make a point, but it's subtle. She says, the whole point of the book is that, we should try to find rules other people can't reasonably reject. And the search for how to find those rules is going to go on forever. And she goes, I proposed a rule that wasn't fair because it was for me and not for you. So she goes, you can go. You could go, I guess. It's not easy, but it's time. Then there's a montage. Let me see. Is that what happens? Let me fast forward because we're at a commercial. And usually I don't have to deal with these commercials, huh? So it's just a matter of maneuvering them here because they're different for everybody. Otherwise, I'd comment on those too. See, okay, well, there's two people in a living room. Now there's a Pinocchio. Another Pinocchio. Now there's Sonic the Movie, which I did see. Then there's an ad for a TV show, another TV show, Fran Drescher, and now back in Paris, arm in arm, the scene we just talked about, and Chidi's in the old neighborhood there, looking at his window, and Eleanor says, this is the way it's got to be, it's time for Chidi to go, let you go, then a Chidi frown face, okay, then this is a party. Okay, so it's a party. It's just Janet, Michael, Chidi and Eleanor, but it's a montage scene, and they're all laughing, drinking wine. A lot of joy, but, like, no sound. Then we have the sunset or sunrise on the couch thing. It's very, very touching, very touching. You know, Eleanor says, this is going to be easy for me. So if you have a John Locke quote or a Kantian wisdom, throw it at me. And Chidi says, well, let's go to the east. He goes, picture a wave in the ocean. You can measure its height, the way sunlight refracts and whatever else Scoot said. You know what it is. It's a wave. But then it gets to shore and it's gone. Water's still there. You got to hear Chidi say it, but he goes, the wave was just a different way for water to be for a while. He goes, that's a Buddhist thing. Wave returns to the ocean where it came from, where it's supposed to be. And they say, not bad, Buddhist, not bad. None of this is bad. And then Eleanor says, why don't you go? You know, it'd be easier if you just go, like, while I'm asleep. And so then the next scene is Janet and Chidi in the forest, kind of stiff-armed. They give one another a hug. I believe, let's see, it's zooming out of sunset now, not zooming out of Eleanor sleeping and opening her eyes. Oh, wait, there's a Chidi, Jeremy Bear Me, like, so Chidi wrestling, Chidi is a sexy mailman for one full Bear Me calendar. Kind of a Professor Chidi look, sexy mailman Chidi, that's the first one. Then a sexy Professor Chidi, then wrestling Chidi. And Eleanor kind of sighs, and she loves it. Yeah, now we're in the forest with Chidi and Janet. And Janet says, yeah, you can sit here, and then when you're ready, go through the thing. Sit on the bench as long as you'd like. Yeah, Chidi's arms are stiff, but he looks ready. He says, I'm ready. So he doesn't, and now he gives Janet a hug. Yeah, I thought so. And then he just walks through. And then we get one more piece of old school because Jason's just there. He says, oh, Dip, hey, Janet. She goes, what are you doing? He goes, oh, funny story. I lost you that thing and I found it, but it was in my pocket. And I've just been waiting for you to come back. You know, other Janets came, but I knew it wasn't you. And Janet's like, it's been 1,000 Bear-me's. And he goes, yeah, but I wanted to see you again. He goes, it was pretty easy to wait. I just sat and thought about the infinity of the universe. And she goes, like, monk. And, you know, then and then he puts the necklace on her. And he goes, it's so touching. He says, looks good, not a girl. And I think they kiss one last time. Let's see here. Jason's skipping rocks, walking in the woods, contemplating the universe. But then he runs after Chidi. He says, Chidi, wait up. Let's see. He's putting the necklace on Janet. Looks good, not a girl. Yeah, he gives her a big kiss. And then he runs off. And yeah, I'm getting a little, then he runs off after Chidi. And then there's another commercial break. Then it's 3.22 Jeremy Bear-me's later. Michael shows up with donuts to a meeting for that council thingamajig. And he goes, hey, oh, go nuts for donuts or whatever people say. And the judge comes out. Looks like she just got done exercising. Yeah, she has a Judge East Dillon Lions t-shirt on. Michael still's in business, or now he's not in full casual, but he's in no tie. Judge says, yeah, everything's going good, so we don't need to meet anymore. You know, Vicky's doing good. Your system's working. And Michael's not ready for it. He goes, well, I think Sean was right. Maybe we should start over. She goes, don't worry. Enjoy yourself. And then she says, check out some podcasts like Radiolab. There was an episode about how clams learn. Yeah, so that was cool that we got a podcast shout out. And she goes, now Scoot. Then what do we got next? Is a little, Eleanor's watching her video of her and Chidi that Mindy taped. It's on a VCR, VHS tape. So I just want to see here coming up what it says on the box. And she's watching it. Then she says she gets an idea. And then she goes to Mindy's. And she says she's in need to talk to. So Mindy says, Derek, now Derek's been rebooted so many times that Derek's become, oh, first she looks at, oh, she had a bunch of stuff on her calendar too. She just changed her month of her Bear Me. Now she's watching Cannonball Run 2 is what the box that the tape was in. That's pretty funny. But it gives her an idea. So now she shows up to Mindy's. Mindy's reading a old people magazine. I couldn't see who was on the cover, but then Derek. So Derek's become like a transcendent being. He's got to go back into his nether sphere. 151 million times did Derek's been rebooted. Now singular point in space and time that contains the space itself. Mindy's faces that she's making are in these scenes is so amazing too. So it's definitely worth watching for that as well. And Eleanor tries to sell Mindy on the idea of, she says, trust me, forming bonds with other people is going to be, I want you to go through the system. It'll be good. This is my last mission. We're very similar. You know, our paths were, you know, we could have gone the same way, and I want to help you get close to other people and try to live in the world. And Mindy says, caring seems like a lot of work. And I said, yeah, and she goes, well, I don't want to go through the system with some stranger. And Eleanor says, well, you had an idea about that. So then we see Tahani. She's got a does she have a bow tie on or no bow tie? Sean's really good. So Sean has a, like, this might be Sean's last lines, but, Sean has a really good ending. But they say, Tahani's going to be a great help. When she's certified, she'll take Mindy through the system. So the owner says, geez, go back to your old life, chill with the floating Derek, and then Tahani will design your test. So there's Tahani. She's in a suit. Does she have a bow tie? Yeah, she does. So she's wearing the peacock bow tie. And Mindy says, why not? And Mindy says, thanks for caring. This is another one. Oof. She goes, it's really nice. She goes, I'm not good at, you know, you're really teaching me to take care, to care for myself. So that was another moment that for me was like, oof. Then Eleanor and Janet are now together at the crossroads. She says, geez, when you're ready. It was really good watching. You could watch Janet's hands, the way Eleanor's moving. But she says, geez, when you're ready, just walk on through. Sit on the bench when you're ready, go on through. And Eleanor says, I'm ready. No, I'm not ready. I'm not. She goes, I should be ready, but I'm not. Then Michael comes in. First, it seems like he's acting out. He's trying to go through the door. He's trying to do... he does a bunch of over the top stuff. He dances through the door, hides, because he says, "Jesus, I'm totally sated and complete. You know, I'm ready to go." He says, "A calm." He's just acting out. Calm is washed over me. Blah blah blah. Then he tries to walk through. Nothing happens. Janet waves goodbye. Then he dances through now sideways, and now he's going to hide. And they say, what are you doing? He goes, returning my essence to the universe is what I'm doing. Eleanor puts her hands on her hips like with a child, says, come on. And now he's hiding. He says, it's working. Bye-bye. Then we go to commercial. When we come back to from the commercial, Michael's still kind of acting out, and she says, you can't go through the door. He goes, well, I invented it. This stinks. He goes, how come I, he goes, this isn't fair, basically. And he goes, Eleanor, give me a piggyback ride through the door. Like, and she has to raise her voice and say, Michael, no. And then she goes, we need to talk. So she sits him down. She gives him some real talk. She goes, Tahani's still around. New people are coming. Maybe work with Tahani. Maybe do something new. Michael says, I already did that. Made new. He goes, I designed the ultimate neighborhood. It was a letdown. Even Doug Forsett's gone. And they say, thank goodness. And Eleanor's kind of like, huh, well, I don't know. And Michael says, I guess I'm stuck here forever. Butt around and retire. And then there's a zoom on Eleanor's face as she figures something out. And then she meets with the judge. She says, come on, judge. The judge says, cockamamie. She doesn't like it. But Eleanor says, well, then I'm going to go. So then you'll be free of us. And she says, oh, well, okay, wait a second. And she says, she goes, like, you'll be rid of us. You won't have to hear, you know, you don't have to hear from us and or anything like that. And the judge says, okay, like, you do have a tone. So then we go back to Michael. He's, like, working on his guitar. Eleanor comes in. She goes, Michael, come on in. Just like the start of the first episode. They go into, like, this, like he has all his earth stuff there, kind of like a museum, bowling ball, paper clips, everybody's laughing, human something, something or other. And Eleanor goes, I figured it out. I figured out, with the door, what we should do. And she goes, you'll never be at peace till you get the thing you want. And it was just this one, oh boy, it was, And she goes, yeah, Pinocchio, you're going to be a real boy, an actual human. Hello, goodbye, SQID, hello, Silver Fox. And they say, geez, you got to be sure about this, Michael, because this is it. And then you'll have to take the test and everything. You're going to live a real life. And, you know, it'll be out of your control. Things could change while you're gone. So you don't really know what's going to happen. And Michael says, well, that's what makes it special. It won't know what's going to happen. Nothing more human than that. And he goes, also, I could text people and say I'm almost there when I haven't even left, which is like a typical human. He goes, thank you, Eleanor. Thank you. And she says, you're welcome. Or you're very welcome. Then we're at the hub with Mike. He says, hey, Mike, where are you headed? Mike says, where are you headed? He goes, Earth. One-way ticket, though. And he says, you got to be kidding me. And he goes, by the way, I got you a real frog. And the frog's kind of sleeping. Very cute frog sleeping. He can't believe it. So then he says, you know who I'm going to name him? And Michael says, Michael, like Michael thinks of Michael. And then he says, what does he say? Mr. Jumpy Legs or something. He goes, you know what? I got perfect name for him. Mr. Jumpy Legs. Yeah, that's correct. My memory is correct. Then Michael and Janet walk off towards Earth from training. They're talking. This is real. She gives Michael all his information. And she goes, she's, you know, this will be enough. And he says, thank you, Janet. She goes, you know, you're a human now. So remember that. Please remember that. And he goes, I'll be okay. And she goes, I know, but I care about you. And they kind of do a hug. And Michael says, don't worry, I'll see you again when I get back. But yeah, it's like, Janet's making some faces, that, you know, it pulls on the heartstrings when you spend this much time with the characters. Michael goes through the door. She says, don't take any, and then he's in total cash. He's in a dress shirt, jeans, and, running shoes. He's so happy though. And it's a dry heat wherever he is, probably Arizona, I'm guessing. Then we have a commercial there. Janet's arms were crossed at the end. Then we have Eleanor and Janet. Eleanor is in a kind of, not a Roy G. Biv, but a rainbow shirt. And they go through there. She goes, yeah, sit on the bench just like last time. And then when you're ready, walk through. And Eleanor says, why don't you sit with me for a bit and join me? They both have a strange posture. Janet says, how about some margaritas? Eleanor says, you betcha. Then Eleanor says, Janet, what are your top three moments of your not life with us? She goes, well, when you said we should try to help other people on Earth, then when we got to the good place. And then she goes, 8 million way tie of all the times Jason and I kissed, because he was a really good kisser. And she wonders how Michael's doing. Eleanor says, geez, I'm assuming he's doing the same as every human. Then it has a montage of Michael at New Year's, good times, times when he's caring for a friend, and being caring for somebody. Then him feeding his dog, whose name is Jason and has a bow tie. Somebody texts him, Bobby, who he doesn't get along with. He makes a TV dinner that doesn't go well and laughs so much. He takes guitar lessons, ends up with, it's with his real life wife, Mary Steenburgen. You know, she says, geez, I hope you just asked for help. I think that was one of the things in the, and she, Michael's learning how to play guitar. He's happy. Everybody needs a teacher. Messing up and trying again, getting things done wrong and making them right. That's what Eleanor's saying. That's what everybody does. They cheers to Michael. And then Janet says, what do you think happens? It's the only thing in the universe I don't know. Eleanor says, I don't know, but the wave returns to the ocean, she says. What the ocean does with the water after that is anyone's guess. And she says, well, but as a wise non-robot told me, true joy is in the mystery. And Janet says, you might mind if I stay here while, until you're gone? And she, like, they make a comment about, you know, they make a, like, a objectifying comment, a joke Janet does about Eleanor. Eleanor stands and hugs Janet, and then she walks through the door very deliberately, and she's kind of starts to become a stardust, more or less. And then we follow some of the stardust sparks until we reach an apartment building. And like one of the sparks is kind of dancing around there. And then there's this dude checking his mail. Or first he's walking, then he's checking his mail. And the stardust lands on his shoulder and becomes a part of him. And then he says, he throws out some mail, but he finds a piece of mail from Michael. He says, wait a second, what in the hay? Oh, no, first he threw it out. Then he decides to do the right thing and bring it to Michael, who's not in the same apartment building. He's at 12358, the building number, apartment 322. He says, hey, this is yours. Michael says, thanks so much. It was for, like, the bar that Eleanor used to hang out at, some like a frequent hanger card, Coyote Joe's reward cards. His last name's Real Man, Michael Real Man. He says, thank you so much. He goes, yeah, no problem. Take it easy. And Michael goes, I'll do you one better. I'll say this to you, my friend, with all the love in my heart, and all the wisdom in the universe. Take it sleazy. And the guy's just stunned. And then that's it. He says, all right. Michael closes the door, and our relationship, for, I mean, until we do season two, you know, we could always come back to these characters, you know, whenever you want, but it comes to a close, and it was a beautiful, beautiful episode. So take, all I can say is take it sleazy, take it sleepy in this case. Good night. All right, I want to thank everybody who became a patron recently. Thanks and good night to Charles, August, and Jeffrey. Thanks and good night to Anna, Kimmy, and Joe. Thanks and good night to Aaron, Rick, and I'm a Bob. Thanks and good night to Matt, Kathleen, and Daniel. Thanks and good night to Jen, Tom, and Ellen. Thanks. Good night to Virginia, Allie, and Alec. Thanks. Good night to Maddie, Kimberly, and Eric. Thanks. Good night to Ann, Moses, and Edward. Thanks. Good night to Sarah, Stephen, and Ryan. Thanks. Good night to Susan, Lee, and Helen. Thanks. Good night to Megan, Zarin, and Charles. Thanks. Good night to Michael, Richard, and Lisa. Thanks. Good night to Ella, Sherry, and Amy. Thanks. Good night to Abby, Alicia, and Michelle. And thanks. Good night to Heather, Haley, and Tim. Thanks, everybody, for supporting the show. Couldn't do it without you. Those of you that support the podcast on Patreon, support the sponsors, spread the word, send your kind words. Thank you so much. And speaking of spreading the word, here's a podcast I want to let you know about. All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review. And this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month. And what you can expect to see on... in the public feed too. Now I have, if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only. And then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from. On Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to the Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't, like, automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets season 1 part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd all intro episode came out, and then we had March is at bonus episodes. There was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On. which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabolix, like, we're getting ready, big announcement. If I haven't made it anywhere, we're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Sabolix. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode 1 of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off. And episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut. That was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4. And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. And again, if you ever need support, support@supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's I put it at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? And building your playlists from that podcast app. So, yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.